Welcome to another deep dive. Ready to go deep?
Always.
Today we're taking a closer look at the life of Claude Walters.
Oh, interesting. I'm familiar with some of her work.
We're specifically diving into her memoir, Suicide Kills.
Heavy stuff.
It is. Very real and raw. We're going to explore her journey of, well, resilience is really the best word for it. She's faced childhood trauma, dealt with the loss of her brother to suicide, and even battled cancer.
Wow, that's a lot to process.
It really is. But there's so much to unpack in her story, and trust me, it's packed with these powerful life lessons, insights that make you really stop and think.
I can already tell this is going to be one of those conversations that sticks with you.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And what I find so striking is how open Claude is in her memoir. She doesn't hold back, even when talking about the really painful stuff.
It's that vulnerability, that rawness that makes her story so compelling, because it's through those experiences, even the difficult ones, that we find those universal truths about what it means to be human.
Exactly. And she really dives deep into her childhood, growing up on the Gaspé Peninsula. It's this interesting juxtaposition. She talks about the incredible natural beauty of the place.
Oh, I can imagine. It's stunning up there.
But also how that small town environment almost magnified the struggle she faced at home, especially with her father battling alcoholism.
It's almost like that contrast, the beauty of nature against the turmoil of her family life, makes her story even more poignant.
And that's where I think she makes such an important point about how our childhood, those early experiences, particularly within our families, really shape our understanding of what's normal, even if it's not healthy.
Oh, that's so true. We develop these patterns, these beliefs, often without even realizing it.
She even has this one line that really stuck with me. She says, "You reproduce not what is good, but what feels normal to you."
Wow. Just wow.
Right. It makes you think about your own upbringing, your family dynamics. What did we inherit, even if we didn't consciously choose to?
And sometimes those inherited patterns aren't healthy. They hold us back.
Absolutely. And to really illustrate this, Claude shares some incredibly vivid anecdotes from her childhood. Like, there's this one story about her father showing up at a fashion show where she was modeling.
Oh, no. As if being in a fashion show as a young girl isn't nerve-wracking enough.
Right. So picture this. Claude's a young girl already feeling self-conscious, wearing clothes her family couldn't even afford. And her dad.
Oh, I feel like I know where this is going.
Her dad starts waving money around, trying to buy the clothes she's modeling right there in front of everyone.
Oh, my gosh. How humiliating.
Talk about mortifying. You can just feel the embarrassment she must have felt in that moment.
It's heartbreaking because you can see how her father's addiction, that need to be the center of attention, completely overshadows her needs. And sadly, it speaks to that experience so many children in similar situations face. They learn to become masters of secrecy, of deception, not because they want to be manipulative, but as a way to protect themselves, their families.
It becomes a survival mechanism.
Exactly. They become incredibly perceptive, learning to read people in situations, always trying to anticipate the next landmine.
And unfortunately for Claude, that need to protect her family takes on a whole new level of complexity when she uncovers a deeply repressed memory during therapy, a memory of sexual abuse by her father.
This revelation must have been incredibly difficult for everyone involved.
It was, but especially for her brother Walter. He idolized their father, and he really struggled to accept the truth about what happened.
It created a rift between them, and tragically, they never really had a chance to heal that rift.
And then it's like just a year after that revelation comes out, Walter takes his own life.
It's a period Claude describes as the absolute darkest time in her life.
And she really, I mean, she doesn't hold back.
No, she doesn't. It's raw, you know, a raw and honest portrayal of grief, the shock, the disbelief, all of it.
And she talks about this. This is crazy. She went to a psychic just hours before she found out about Walter. Hours. And the psychic says to her, "You're about to get hit with some really devastating news, but you have a new angel beside you."
Oh, wow.
Right. Knowing what we know now, it's like, chilling.
Killing is the word for it.
And then on top of that, she talks about this vivid dream she had, like a year before Walter's death.
Okay.
And in the dream, she finds him. He's dead from a gunshot wound. And she says he has this unsettling grin on his face.
Oh, no.
And the really unsettling part, she sees that same grin on his face at the morgue.
That sends shivers down my spine just hearing you talk about it. It makes you think, you know, about dreams, premonitions, all that.
Right. Like, how much is our subconscious telling us? Have you ever had anything like that where a dream felt, I don't know, like a premonition?
You know, it's funny you ask. Dreams are wild, right? such a weird window into what our brains are doing when we're not looking. I don't know about interpreting them literally as premonitions, but I do think they can show us our fears, our anxieties, all that, sometimes even before we're really aware of them.
That makes a lot of sense, especially in Claude's case. It sounds like she was already carrying a lot of fear, a lot of anxiety about Walter.
Absolutely. And she even says in the hours before his suicide, she felt like she was going crazy, like something was wrong, but she didn't know what.
Almost like she could sense it on some level.
Intuition, maybe. It's heartbreaking, though, no matter how you look at it.
It really is. And you can feel that grief, that sense of loss in her decision to get married again so soon after.
It's almost like she was trying to outrun it, you know? Fill that void with something, anything, to make the pain go away.
And then it leads to another agonizing decision. The abortion.
That's a heavy one.
It is. And she's so open about it. The emotional toll, the physical toll, the regret.
I think that's what makes Claude's story so powerful. She doesn't shy away from those hard conversations. The things people go through but don't always talk about.
You're right. It makes her story relatable, even when it feels almost impossible to imagine going through what she went through.
Because who hasn't made a decision they regret, right? Especially when you're grieving.
Exactly. And for Claude, that regret, it just compounded the grief, sent her spiraling, really.
She even gets to the point of planning her own suicide.
It's hard to imagine the kind of despair she must have been feeling at that point.
It really is. She decides, you know, to go to Florida and end it all.
Wow.
But, and this is incredible, it's on that trip to Florida that she meets Tom, the man who would become her third husband.
Talk about a turn of events. Almost fated, wouldn't you say?
She describes it as feeling fated, yeah. This chance meeting that, in many ways, saved her life.
Which is a good reminder, right? Even when all hope seems lost, life can surprise you.
Absolutely.
But it wasn't all smooth sailing from there, right?
Right. Even though meeting Tom was a turning point, it was still, you know, a relationship.
With its own challenges, for sure.
Of course. And she's very upfront about that in the book.
Which is refreshing, I think. That honesty about the ups and downs.
For sure. And, you know, she talks about how Tom, even with their differences, really introduced her to this deeper understanding of spirituality.
I love that part where she talks about their wedding day at the bottom of a waterfall.
Oh, wow.
And as they're exchanging vows, this single ray of sunlight breaks through the clouds.
Oh, that's beautiful.
It is. And it just feels symbolic, you know, this new beginning amidst all the turbulence.
Definitely. And that ties into this larger theme in Claude's story, this search for meaning, a sense of purpose, even when everything feels chaotic.
And for her, music becomes a big part of that search.
She pours her heart into it.
Even turning down opportunities that might have, you know, compromised her vision.
She talks about music as a form of therapy, a way to process everything, connect with something bigger than herself.
It's amazing how powerful creative expression can be, right? As a way to heal, to discover yourself.
Absolutely. And then just when it seems like she's finding some peace, she gets hit with another curveball. Whoa. Bladder cancer.
Unbelievable. After everything else.
You almost can't fathom facing something like that on top of everything else.
It's a testament to her spirit, though, because instead of falling apart, she just faces it head on.
And decides to do things her way.
Which is a whole other story in itself. I mean, most people, you hear cancer, you're scheduling surgery like yesterday, right?
Right. Get it out of there.
But Claude, she's not most people. She decides to hold off on the surgery.
Really?
Yeah, to give herself time. Time to prepare mentally and physically.
Wow, that takes guts.
It does. And she goes all in on this self-care journey. Juicing, meditation, visualization, the works.
Visualization, huh?
She talks about visualizing her white blood cells, bathes in this healing violet light, attacking the tumor.
Okay, that's specific.
It might sound a little out there, but I don't know, I kind of love it. It speaks to the power of mindset. You know.
Oh, absolutely. The mind-body connection is powerful. Not about pretending the illness isn't there, but about choosing how you face it from a place of strength.
Exactly. And you see that throughout Claude's story, that agency, that even when things are really, really tough, we have more power than we think. And she talks about this towards the end of the book, the idea of a limitless mindset.
I like that. Limitless.
And she's not talking about like magical thinking. It's not about wishing your problems away.
More like recognizing the limits we put on ourselves.
Yes. She talks about those limiting beliefs we inherit from our families, society, even things we're taught as kids.
We internalize so much without realizing it.
It's crazy. And then those beliefs, they become self-fulfilling prophecies. So a big part of living a limitless life is dismantling them.
Which is easier said than done, right?
Totally. But Claude, she actually gives you the tools.
Mm-hmm.
Meditation, affirmations, visualization, all the stuff she's used herself to get through some seriously tough times.
It's like a roadmap. She's saying, hey, this stuff works if you're willing to do the work.
Exactly. And it's not about, like, achieving perfection. Life's always going to be messy.
It's about how we choose to show up for it.
Yes. And I think what I find so inspiring about Claude's story, she's real. She doesn't pretend it's all sunshine and rainbows.
She owns the struggles.
She does. The pain, the doubt, the moments where she just wanted to give up. But she never does. And I think that's what makes her story so powerful.
It's a testament to the human spirit, for sure, that even in the darkness, there's always hope.
There really is. And at the end of the day, Claude's story, it's not just about surviving trauma or illness. It's about courage. The courage to be vulnerable, to face your demons, to embrace all of it, the messy and the beautiful.
To recognize that strength, that resilience, it's in all of us.
Absolutely. So anyone listening, if you're feeling lost, stuck, whatever it is, pick up a copy of Suicide Kills. Seriously, you won't regret it.
100%. It's a powerful read.
It is. And on that note, I think it's time to surface from this deep dive. Until next time, folks, keep exploring, keep learning, and keep diving deep.